Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the city of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Utah Gauvier
and Robbie Baseball. Ben will be with us momentarily. He's just running a little bit behind from his business, doing his business stuff. And I think people are excited, Rob, because Jordan Lawler got the call, and everyone thinks it's going to change their lives.
It's true. And it's fascinating because we've talked since the season started about where do you fit this guy in? This is a locked-in lineup, and I mean, like a thumbnail under a can of Guinness, you can find a way to get in there if you're that good. That hurt.
Yep.
But anyway, we'll see what happens, what comes of it. This is always what everybody wants. We want our players to come up and get promoted. And when the highly sought after, highly thought of, highly ranked players come, that's even more exciting. So I'm good with that.
But dude.
Let's dive right into the news, and we'll start with the exciting part, which is it's the time of the year where general managers and vice presidents of baseball operations who have done terrible jobs have realized, you know what? It's the field manager's job. And in Colorado, my boy Bud Black is out.
Coors.
And I'm currently waiting to hear back about the job. We'll see. I will let you guys know. And Pittsburgh, I believe, actually started the trend this week. You know, they said Ben Cherington was talking to the boys, was like, you know what, guys? I think my ideas of bringing in all of these past their prime players or never had a prime players isn't working out. And our prospects that we don't develop, you know what? They're just not developing that well. I think we fire the manager. So, boom, there goes another manager. He's out. And I feel so bad for the next guy that comes in. Because same with whoever replaces Bud Black on a permanent basis. You need to change.
You're his boss.
Yeah. You need to change what's going on up above. It's upper management, you know?
Duh.
Yeah. Like, right. You know, the players are going to do as good as they can, but you're telling me that it's the manager's job making errors. It's not like they're putting in the wrong rotation. You know, you're putting in relief pitchers for three innings at a time. You're blowing it. No, it's not that. It's not your bench guys going in at the wrong time, putting somebody where they don't belong. It is you, the GM or whatever, not getting players in that can make it happen. And then, of course, the manager's got to make the team gel. That's where you go from like, anybody can build, I think, a 500 product. The manager is the one who should be able to take a 500 team and, you know, make them into a playoff contender. So, which I mean, we're seeing a ton of sub 500 and right around 500 teams in the AL East, which brings us to Baltimore, who needs pitchers. Like nobody's business, and Eflin
is now in. Well,
look,
if somebody takes the Rockies' job, if you take the Rockies' job as a manager, most people will say this to you.
I'm sorry you have to deal with that.
Yeah. Even though it's one of the coveted jobs in baseball, because it's a baseball manager job. Yeah. But it still sucks. But yeah, Baltimore's got problems, and maybe it's a good time to trade for Freddie Peralta?
Ooh, well, that'd be interesting.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I mean, Milwaukee, well, we'll get to it. But, like, Eflin's back. So, do you care about that? I know you have previously been interested in him. Yeah, okay.
I have Eflin shares, and I'm happy to have him back in my squads, making me feel good about myself, and I need to level out some ratios with the teams he's on. So, he looked fine against the Angels. Oh, look at that. Is that still the Strongbow-Guinness combo or just straight Guinness?
That's only the second time I've had that. I've, you know, when I mentioned it a few weeks ago that I got four of each, this is only the second of each one. So for everybody out there saying I got a drinking problem, It's not the beer. It's the hard stuff.
It's not me. It's you. But yeah, Effler's back.
We're counting beers.
Makes me happy. Beer? Wait a minute. Yeah. Coors or Busch?
Coors.
Coors or Busch? What about Chinese beer?
China. I was just gonna say, I've got to support Canadian right now. So, mind you, both of these are international.
I know. But I see those signs everywhere now. 100% yeah. Canadian made. Everywhere I go in Windsor, I see those signs a lot more often.
Biggest joke on us for our ordering food. This is super quick for everybody. So oranges don't grow in Canada, right? Our orange juice that we order in for our customers, it says on it Canadian, which is processed in Canada. So yeah. I don't know what kind of pulp we're getting, but when we add our water, that's Canadian water going in there.
Yeah!
Woo! Canadian jobs.
Anyway, thank you. Tobias Myers sucks. Jobs, bye-bye.
Yeah. Yeah. Tobias Myers sent down. Woodruff is allegedly taking that spot back. Then they've got two more dudes that can come back this month. It's kind of like a Seattle situation of all the guys, all the tape work. But Myers, the peripheral numbers, the advanced stats, the non-fantasy stats, those are the ones that he's been terrible at this year, which just means it's been a lot of luck. So that's allegedly why he's down. I could see Patrick being the next guy going down.
Walks. Walks and not missing enough bats. Yeah, that was Myers just did not look the same as last year. And with all the options, which we covered on this show, whether it's this show or our other show on the Palazzo Podcast Network, we've talked about how Milwaukee has so many starting rotation options that you can't screw around, especially if you don't have the clout like a Freddy Peralta or a Brandon Woodruff, who now maybe has ankle issues, tendonitis. What does that mean?
I mean, I deal with tendonitis in a couple spots within my body. When it's bad, it's very bad. But when you're a professional athlete, I mean, how does the team and organization not work and massage and do all the things to break down everything that amplifies it, right? Like, I've got it in my elbow. And
When I'm
throwing pitches to my son after, like, the 20th, I'm like, okay, I gotta chill out here. I need to be able to make it through 9 innings here.
You got a career to think about. You're like Ricky Vaughn in Major League 2. He starts getting more focused and conscious of his career. Yeah. I'm not going to save the good stuff for later. So
yeah.
So what about Wesneski hit the IL for Houston? Does that matter to you at all? I mean, I had one share somewhere, and I only did it because someone else I respect was talking him up in the preseason.
Yeah, but so I liked Wesneski. I thought that was fun, a great opportunity for him to move out of Chicago, where it clearly wasn't believed in. Houston's default injuries put him in the rotation. If this is a severe injury, that's possibly the last we're going to see of him in a useful fantasy format. If but what they're going to do is they're going to put Gusto back in the rotation.
Yeah,
which he's starts tonight. Yeah, and it pisses me off because I dropped him in my home league Saturday night after they were like he's going to be out of the rotation for at least another two turns. So, of course, Wesneski's down, and he's back up. And I got him on waiver, so I can't even pick him up if I wanted to. But I don't know, because Wesneski was never a dominant pitcher who just, like, was adjusting to anything. He was a bullpen starter guy. So I could see him coming back, but kind of going into a Garrett Whitlock situation where when he comes back, it's like, no, you're just going to go in the bullpen. And then I don't know if he's got the stuff to be a save hold guy. And again, this is a serious injury. And as well, once the rotation is solidified, if it's solidified without him in it, I don't think he just slots back in. So
that'll be here shortly. Don't worry, Chad. It's okay.
Yeah, that's a rough one. But as former Cub Wesneski to current Cub, Kate Horton is up. So did he follow an opener? Is that what happened Saturday?
He did. I think Keller started the game, and then he took over. And outside of that home run he gave up to Beatty, he was pretty good. Kate Horton looked solid.
Yeah, which is great. He's up. Let's not all have everybody, I mean, it's too late, right? Everybody was crazy for Fab.
I mean, after yesterday, he's long gone, as Ernie Harwell would say. But I don't know how long Horton will be in the rotation here. You got Imanaga coming back, and then you've got Ben Brown, who's ahead of him because he's been here already. Right. So I don't see them booting Ben Brown. So it's going to be interesting. But I would assume he's going to go because Colin Ray, who has a great two-start week this week, is not going anywhere, right?
Well, everyone's one, curveball away from 18 months off. So time will tell, right? Throwing 200 pitches or whatever the MLB average is right now per game, there's an opportunity for him to be able to stick around in some facet. And again, we always talk about it. It's not terrible if these guys aren't starting at all times,
no,
right? have them up, have the talent up, and then they can kind of work into it.
But the Giants are doing. I mean, you got Birdsong and Harrison. Yeah. They're in the big leagues. They're in the bullpen, but they get to go like two innings, maybe three sometimes, depending on the situation. I kind of like it. I think it's like a – it seems like it's a different move. It's standing out to me from the last few years in terms of roster construction and what GMs do with players they like, but they want to get him big league time, but they want him to continue to pitch as well, and maybe there's not a spot because there's veterans on the roster. I don't know. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, anything that creates a little bit of a change is always a good thing. So, Ben,
hey,
welcome.
Hey, there he is. Howdy. Mr. America with those luscious lips. All right, I'll just stop there.
Okay. That's awkward. All right.
Hey, we're just talking about that guy, Cade Horton, how he got the call, and now he's up, and we'll see what happens next as we were moving into the other part of our news. How are you doing this evening?
I'm busy. It's been one of those nights, and I'm very warm. It's 90 plus degrees here.
Yeah, wow.
So I
wow, dude.
I saw a really, really, really good tweet come out today. Do we still call them tweets, or do we call them X's?
That's fine, Ben. Don't ever change. Tweets are fine.
Anyway, a guy said, "Fantasy baseball, top prospect pitcher coming up. Do everything you can to acquire top prospect pitcher." Fantasy baseball 2 weeks later. I always thought he was best used as a middle reliever slash backup, you know, bullpen pitcher. And I will tell you, I am going to jump out in front of that one on Cade Horton and say, folks, this ain't the time. His stuff in AAA has been, it's all been over 100 stuff plus, but he has not shown the same type of slider this year that he has shown in the past. And that has been his out pitch. And it's worked against quad A hitters this year, which I will say he's facing a whole lot of quad A hitters in AAA right now. There's not a whole lot of prospects in AAA hitting at the moment. I don't, when he gets up to the majors, he's going to have to be able to strike out somebody. And because his stuff does tend to leave the park if he doesn't. And so that could be an issue for him, is a lot of home run balls. There's going to likely be here's a really good example that I brought up to somebody with Cade Horton. He reminds me a lot right now of where Hunter Brown was when Hunter came up.
Mm.
And we remember what Hunter had to go through in his growing pains before he finally became who he is now.
Damn right. Yep.
So.
Okay, I like hearing that. I was just saying when you came in to Robbie that I don't know how much room there is for him anyways once Imanaga comes back, and Ben Brown was already there. So that supports my point of view. Also, Chad's or Mike saying, did I miss the Lawler glazing? Have we got that part of the show yet, Robbie?
It's good that we saved that because as hot as it is, I'm going to look forward to the ice water that we get to discuss at that point. So we'll get there.
Yeah,
hi, Robbie. By the way,
we just put the tip in for a second on Lawler, but we're going to wait and really shove it in a minute. So, continuing on with the news here, Govia, this one's straight to you. The IL, Detroit is achieving, overachieving, doing exactly what you thought. Now what's the play? Not that he was like the guy, but he's a guy.
He was. Flaherty got ripped too against the Rangers the other day. Yeah. The Tigers are going to settle down a little bit here. They've played a little bit over their heads. There's no doubt about it. Their offense isn't this good. Their pitching is close to this good, but their offense isn't. And Casey Mize wasn't missing enough bats still. It looked kind of mysterious to me how he was doing what he was doing because I didn't see any real meaningful changes underneath the hood, as they say, with some of the peripheral stats. But your boy, Robbie, is on the mend. Sawyer Gibson Long is rehabbing. He started up his rehab. Say
Brewer Hicklin. Brewer Hall of Famer, Brewer Hicklin.
The legend, Brewer Hicklin. No, Sawyer Gibson Long. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be a part of this rotation, but wanted to mention it because I know you were a fan once upon a time.
Yeah, and so Wes Neske, who we talked about earlier, and Sawyer Gibson, if by chance Wes Neske ends up on this long route, long-term injury, he could fade like, you know, Keaton Wynn, like Sawyer Gibson Long, where they need some breaks to happen on the way back. So just so anybody is thinking about what's up with Wes Ezki. Like, I've got him in two dynasty leagues. I don't want him to be hurt long term. But, you know, Houston doesn't have the best track record. Just ask Lance McCullers for getting you back healthy and keeping you there. Now, that might be McCullers specific.
Chad, did you get McCullers? Because you were talking about him for Fab like 3 weeks ago, trying to get ahead of it. I hope you didn't have him on your active roster last Saturday. Sorry.
I got a good one that only I'm going to care about here, though, guys. So we'll move off from Detroit because they're achieving, and that's great.
I was going to say, just one quick thing with Detroit. I'm putting together for my website that I put together, my little blog. Life got a little busy, and so I hadn't put up something in a couple of weeks.
I hear you.
So this week I decided it's normally a 10 pack is what I call it. And so I try to do just one player from each team and not double up on any teams. And I'm actually going to do it one player from all 30 teams. There will be 15 pitchers, 15 hitters, but the pitcher that I chose from the Detroit Tigers is Tyler Owens. And I remember that boy as a baby-faced kid when he was first drafted by the Braves. Mike, have you seen what that guy looks like on the mound?
I've only seen him in a video game. I play with him in AAA in the show, in my road to the show. He's closing games for us at AAA.
He is. I mean, he looks like he could be transported right now to the early 70s as a long-bearded.
Oh, yes, I have seen this guy. We were talking about how he looked like Bob Seger from the 70s, like early 70s Bob Seger. Look at this guy. Yep.
It is nuts. Beautiful. Like I said, I first got to talk with him when he was like, the guy couldn't grow facial hair, you know? He was just like this, you know.
What a man.
Oh, my gosh. He was the first guy I ever covered who was born after 9/11. That's my. I will always remember Tyler Owens for that reason.
Hey, where are you post those write-ups, by the way, Ben? Come on, promote yourself.
It is called Chasing Baseball Greatness. It's on Medium. So
Chasing Baseball Greatness. We'll promote that.
Chasing
right
Baseball Greatness. You got it. Medium.com or something like that. But anyway, that's. I will have one out this Wednesday. I have all of the hitters written up. I just need to update stats the night before, and the pitchers will kind of get written up as I have time over the next, like, 3 days.
Gotcha.
Go Tigers.
All right, Robbie, who are you, just for you, who is it?
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for this one for you.
Time to get to some real news, everybody. So Bobby Dalbec, hear me out.
Hey, he's not on the White Sox anymore?
No, he's not on the White Sox, guys. He's on Milwaukee, and he's in AAA. But it wasn't horrific, which, I mean, I know. We're just trying to root for a guy. But he's in an organization that does bring these kind of guys up and cycle them through. Vinny Capra, who we were kind of joking was having the spring training out of his mind, stuck around for a full month on the roster before he got DFA'd with Milwaukee. So they might bring him up. But, you know, he is in similar company to a guy like Kyle Wright. But Kyle Wright just can't seem to get right with KC. They stopped the rehab assignment. I didn't see if it was related to anything specific. I thought it was just like not necessarily giving him a break, but it was one of those, we're downplaying it in our writing. Like he stopped the rehab, going to, you know, cycle back 2 weeks, whatever it was, which, you know, sure, whatever. KC's still, you know, competitive without him. So,
Brandon Woodruff or Kyle Wright, who would you rather have?
Oh, Woodruff. He's on the cusp.
Okay.
Yeah. Woodruff. I just actually heard that, they discussed the fact that he only threw two innings or whatever in his last rehab after going five the previous like three or four starts out. That was planned, and that was something that a Milwaukee beat writer just put out at some point today that I follow, that it was planned that he was going to do one essentially extended toss day, and then go back to that rotational thing. And it sounds like the conversation is that they're going to have a six-man when Woodruff is back.
That's always palm and grab now. So I don't know.
Mike Virginia will be happy.
They did demote Tobias Myers, so I don't know what that's going to look like. But we still have time, right? Yep. We still have time to see what happens. But we're all really interested in, at least me, is this Rafael Devers debacle in Boston. Now he's going to meet with the owner. I mean, what I want to know is what prospects are they going to get back when they end up dumping this? because this is blowing up in your face. You sign a guy, a cornerstone player for 4 years, a huge value. Meanwhile, you've already signed a franchise cornerstone guy, same position. You tell the guy he's not moving. He's just going to DH. He doesn't need to pick up a glove, I believe was his quote. That's what he was told. Don't
pick
up a glove.
You talk to the owner. The owner talks to you.
Yeah, now he's going to be sitting down and going through all this BS. Like, this sucks. I mean, this sucks that we even know it exists. You know, like, it should all just be and go play.
Here's what I don't understand.
Shut your mouth.
Why on earth hadn't this kind of, because this didn't, and that's what is causing all of this issue. Why in the heck did the GM and the manager not talk to him the moment that they found out Tristan Cassis is going to be out for the year? Everyone's going to be going, hey, you should make this guy play first base. We're going to have a conversation with him, knowing that that's likely the media reaction, and we're going to sit down, we're going to talk with Rafi before that game that night and say, hey, somebody's going to ask you about this.
Yeah.
Wow. Sorry, I didn't deal with that.
What do you think?
Yeah.
And that's it.
Cut it off.
Like,
cut it off. Stop it right now. Like, everyone's freaking out.
Just like, so that it's not a thing. Because once, if he was to have a first base glove in his hand at any point in time, everyone's going to go nuts. Oh, this is what's happening. This is what's happening.
Exactly.
But, you know, Roman Gonzalez also went down. So, the potential to have a hot hand play somewhere, and Devers was going to DH, and all these things, that it gets kind of thrown up because now your defense could, you know, take effect in other ways. And Toro, I think, started 4 games at first base last week,
I don't think he did over
the weekend. So,
you know, I used to huff Toro when I was a teenager. That's a true story. Do not huff inhalants, folks. They're not made for inhaling. That's what I learned. Toro was a bowling lane spray, so I worked at a bowling alley.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I know. It's so stupid.
I actually knew what you were talking about. That's
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So you've been to the bowling alley.
Yeah. We did a lot of bowling.
So if you got high on it, would you say that you rolled a turkey? There's a bowling term. There's a bowling term. Dude.
You got to do turkey bowling, though.
Turkey bowling. Really? That's fun.
In reality, that is fun.
Is that the one with the.
Frozen turkey, you set up like paper towels in a grocery store, and you get a hold of the manager, and you're like, hey, can we do this? And so a lot of times.
And a grocery store owner's like, no problem, just no little people or children?
You have to buy the turkey, you have to buy any of the.
Anything you hit?
And any of the paper towel rolls that are destroyed. Or else you can buy just one great big huge container, and then you don't care if you destroy it. But
America is different.
It sure is.
It's one of those things you can get away with doing at 10 o'clock in a small town.
Yes.
But I'm guessing I could probably not go into like Minneapolis and do that.
Exactly, Ben. That's a good clarification on that.
One thing I wanted to bring up out of the last, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games. Von Grissom has started at first base.
Listen to this.
No, okay. Just that was brought up as a guy that they were going to potentially give some time to as a just-in-case break glass.
I don't hate it.
All else fails.
No.
It's a way to get him up to the majors. He's actually hitting a bit in the minors right now. Not great, but he's hitting like Von Grissom hits.
Post. So
there we go.
Okay, well, on to the big news then. Now it's time to really shove her in there, all 3 inches.
Wait. So we're going to Lawler? We're going to Lawler? Let me just get this out real quick. It'll take 30 seconds. Chad's saying on the Woodruff thing, the ankle injury now, which has developed, is so a plan for a week off again, and then he'll start his rehab again. So it doesn't look like – this is what Chad was saying, because I saw the ankle tendonitis thing on Twitter today. So we'll see what's going to happen with that next. But thanks for the update on that, Chad. And Chad's also saying, why not move Devers to the Dodgers for Jackson Ferris? And I said, why don't we throw in Max Muncy on that too? How about that? Muncy and Ferris for Devers, and then Muncy can hit home runs.
In no world would that happen.
I'm not in reality. I was just going to say. Also, Seager's on the IL now.
Fantasy baseball trade. Again. A prospect lover in a fantasy baseball league is the only way that deal happened.
You're right. I admit it. It's just fun. Chad's throwing it out there. Corey Seager's hitting the IL, so
the money makes it a major issue because
you can't defer it now.
He's signed for a guaranteed contract, and that is the big issue. If they need to send him off, he's only 2 years into his contract, guys. 10-year contract. He's 2 years into it.
Well, so, I feel like San Diego would probably and San Diego, Boston have probably talked to him. They're like, look, we're not big fans of the idea that we didn't sign Bogarts. And or sorry, Boston is
broke.
And well, but I mean, you could just move the contracts, the Bogarts, Devers, and then you just say to Manny, do you want to move over to short? Do you want to move over to short?
Yeah, but then you got to send Trevor Story too.
Well, Story's going to find a way to. I shouldn't say that. I need him now that I've acquired him in two leagues. So I better not say anything mean. But
okay,
anyway,
Robbie, back to the main event. We're live on the Palazzo Podcast. Two L's, two Z's. It's time to talk about Jordan Lawler.
Yeah, like what's going on here, Ben? We talked about it. Where is he going to play? What's going to happen? Is this just like a little tea sandwich? He's just getting up to see what's going on. Arizona's just you've played well. Now you're up.
I honestly think this is a reward-based thing that he was likely going to start opening day of 24 if he doesn't get hurt. And then he ended up getting hurt and has kind of a goofy year last year because of that with all the injury stuff. But they've got quality starters at every position. The quote that I took today from the interview with Tori Lavolo is he said, we're going to find a way to get him around 4 days of work a week.
Okay.
I highly doubt you're going to see 20 plate appearances a week for Lawler.
Well, that's going to, who are you pushing?
That's just right? it. Well, like, and I think the whole point is that he's likely going to be out there giving a day off here, day off here, day off here. And if you space that out, you're getting everybody a day off at times. I'm guessing he's going to be sitting in the bottom of that lineup. I like, that lineup is one of the highest scoring lineups in baseball right now.
It sure is.
Why mess with the top that's doing so well? But you can plug him in down in the bottom and, you're not going to disrupt a whole lot of things at that point of the lineup. But then I guess I've always thought no matter what, he is the type of guy, he does a lot of things well, but not a whole lot of them impact fantasy baseball. This is a guy that's going to be a really good real life player. But I think he's going to be. He's a better offensive player. I mean, in all seriousness, I think he's going to have some years where he's he hits for a good average. He puts up 10 to 15 homers, 10 to 15 to 20 steals, and has 150 runs and RBI combined. That's a really solid player, but it's not elite.
Great job.
Okay.
But I think you add in his defensive versatility, and he does a lot of those little things well. I was just complaining on our Discord here this weekend that nobody can freaking bunt anymore. Just ridiculous watching some of the attempts to bunt over the last week. I'll not get into the whole Braves crap because it'll just drive me angry this last week. But there was a lot of really bad bunts. On both sides.
A lot of bad bunts on both sides.
Yeah. But it was ugly. But Lawler does that well. Lawler does those type of little things well. Oh, my Lord. He grabs, he's one of those guys that he gets the ball, he sees the guys a step away from first base, and he puts it in his pocket.
Okay.
And there's a lot of young guys that are like, I have the arm, watch me! And they throw it into the first row of the bleachers.
I like that voice. Really That's work. Cool. You should do that more often. Robbie, do you disagree with this at all, or?
Oh no, I'm on board. I just find it like, especially the comment of getting him in 4 days a week, like you're DH-ing somebody so he's in the field because that's where you're going to maximize his value. But no one in that field is a poor defender, so to the point that you're looking to DH him. So whatever, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's a good team getting better, so that's fine.
Right, it's a playoff team that adds a rookie who's, he made his debut last year, right? So technically it's not his debut. This is his second go-around, but it wasn't enough to eclipse his rookie status. As Chad is saying, there are easy ways to find playing time. Carroll could use a rest day. He's been putrid for 2 weeks for Eugenio. Eugenio's been putrid, not Corbin. Grichuk and Tawa aren't hitting, so they aren't a threat. Gurriel will be... Gurriel is a guy I still think can heat up here.
Gurriel's Gurriel's annoyingly good.
He is, you're right. As a man who lives in the Toronto area, what do they call it? The greater TA, GTA?
GTA, yeah.
Right? I just want to want to really sound Canadian as much as possible. So, anyways, Jordan Lawler, I don't care if I had him or not. I don't think it's a big loss for me. I really don't. I don't have him anywhere. I'll have him in redraft. I'm talking about both sides, dynasty and redraft. It's fine with me. I think he's a solid talent, but I don't think he's a guy that's like, oh, no.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's enough of that. Let's stop talking about players we're not sure are going to be good, and let's get to somebody who will definitely be good, and that
Jesus
is my...
Jesus Take the Wheel! All right, Robbie. I'm excited about this week's Jesus Take the Wheel pick.
Yeah, I've been patient. I knew this opportunity would come, and the fact that he started the year and then got injured, and everyone's forgotten. Mike Soroka, everybody. He has a gift tomorrow night against Atlanta because they suck. They will probably just make enough defensive errors, base running errors, other kind of errors. We've muted Ben, right? So that he's going to get the easy win. K's could be racked and stacked. And then you know what's going to happen next week? He's going to go against Atlanta again. So he gets to go back-to-back with Atlanta. And next week is the two-start week. And then he does have a bit of a challenge against San Francisco. But between now and next weekend, things can change as they have for two of my most recent guys, Jesus Take the Wheel picks, where things change within their organization and they got moved around. Gusto, we mentioned, already went out and now he's back in with Houston.
Emerson Hancock worked out last week. Congratulations.
Thank you. Hancock, we're looking good and we'll see where we are in a week from now when we've got the three starts for him. But yeah, last year, Soroka was, you know, just pitiful in the rotation and then really hammered it out as the year went on. And I think just concentrated on the things he does
well. Did you say he was a Canadian? Did you say that?
He still is. Yes.
Yeah. Calgary. Cool. Yeah, I didn't know Calgary. That. All right.
Yeah.
That's fine. Well, I will say I looked at that because I actually put Mike Soroka into my starting lineup, even though he's facing the Braves. He will get an ovation at home.
Yep.
At Atlanta, because that was his home park and
he's made it back.
He has. And honestly, like, I mean, folks really in Atlanta are happy to see him doing well because it was really unfortunate all the crap he went through to get back to where he is. But the other guy I was kind of wondering if you might bring up is Jack Leiter.
I'd like to look at him.
You say Jack Leiter? Because,
yeah. He's got a two-step where he's hosting Colorado.
Yeah.
But and then
everybody's got him. I couldn't do that to us.
Oh, right.
Yeah, well, that's fair. Yeah. I mean, Soroka is like 60% owned after this week.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I guess I was looking at he's been terrible, and I think he'll be better. But to your point, yeah, Leiter, same deal, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, that was just – I think that's going to be an interesting one just because he's got a couple of good starts this week. So
I'd like to look at him.
Dolander?
Yeah, Chad rolling the super – like, I'm not even this risky. Now, mind you, I've already picked Feltner, who then ended up getting hurt from the Rockies. But yeah, he's saying Dolander, which, yeah, certainly. That's now. That's this week. And I'm always taking the guy that's got the two starts lined up for next week. So, that's
if Dolander doesn't pitch well this week, by the way, he might have to get sent down. Now, I know the Rockies suck. They have nothing to lose right now. But he's been that bad if you look at his numbers where it's like, this two-start needs to go a little bit better or maybe you need to take a break.
Yeah, if you're concerned for his long-term viability or his mental game or whatever and you want him to go back and have some success, certainly a possibility. But the Rockies are also
total bozos.
And don't understand. And maybe they sell some jerseys so they don't want to do it.
I think big thing they've got to see is they've got to see some progress from him, keeping his location correct and not letting stuff just drift. His big issue has been he has been aiming balls. Mm. And usually when you aim a baseball, it drifts over the middle of the plate. And when you throw 98 and it just sits over the middle of the plate, and especially in that Colorado air, it takes off.
It's so easy to hit. As the MLB show has taught me, it's so easy.
Maybe there's some frustration to pitching in the park he's now pitching in too, right? Like you might mentally be defeated by the end of the first inning if you thought you came out with a hell of a start to your warm-up, long time. Everything went well, and then you got in, and maybe one guy got away from you, and you're like, the ball's not moving. Like, what the hell? Which, again, we've heard forever in Colorado, right? The ball. Sure. Yep. Not, devastating pitchers look plain. So, but anyway. But
Dolander's a real talent. I just don't want to, I hope he gets to grow and develop. And I'm just worried about him being in that organization. That's too bad.
We've seen John Gray come up and be bad for a long time and then
That's right. Kind of exactly. If he could have a John Gray career, mwah, chef's kiss.
Yeah.
By the way, do you do chef's kiss at work, or is that not something you do?
Well, you know, HR is pretty tight these days in the university setting. So, yeah. No, we don't.
Is it commercial time?
Yeah.
I think it's time for a commercial.
All right.
You got a refill. Boy,
you got a refill on the Strongbow and Guinness. Today's show is brought to you by Strongbow and Guinness. Now, if you've never tried Strongbow and Guinness, let me be the one to tell you that it's a delicious combination. It's got a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
And that's from the UK.
And it's from the UK. So,
hey, aren't Americans friendly with the UK now?
I don't know what day it is. Where are we? Is that what's happening today?
Apparently, they even like China now. So, you know.
And then the Irish.
Irish, right? Yeah, that's funny. Oh man, you guys are the best. I love doing the show with you guys. We'll take a quick commercial break here. The Bloodsome Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's with Benjamin Chase, Rob Baseball, and Michael Govier.
Give me two.
We'll be right back after this.
This is Ed 209, the future of law enforcement in Delta City. You must rate and review the Palazzo Podcast with 5 stars immediately. You have 20 seconds to comply.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Those were good commercials. I remember that.
Remember they truly make a TV show? They did a pilot for real. Mm-hmm. Of the
with that guy?
Right, but that did happen, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
With the
that guy, those guys. Yeah, a commercial that actually became a pilot. It didn't stick, but real quick to tickle Ben's fancy here. Does Bryce Elter stick in Atlanta real quick? Months behind, just wants to know real fast.
He actually has to right now because they have they are playing every day from now until like the 19th of the month. Oh. So they really don't have an option. They've got to use him in the rotation. They're looking to get Strider back, but that's likely going to be in a 6-man situation because they're going to be playing every single day and going to need that. So, okay.
Thank you very much, Ben. All right, let's get going into our main focus, Robbie. Where the hell are we?
He ran away.
Robbie left. How did he leave? See what happens. Well, but Ben, we're talking about the AA hitters. We talked about AAA last week. We're looking at the Texas League, the Southern League, and the Eastern League. Those are the three leagues.
Robbie's bringing pussy on the show. All right.
I didn't see this cat before. What a lovely cat. You're saying I skipped his question. He feels disrespected. I guess I'm sorry, Chad. I missed it. If you send Dollander down, do you think they give Palmquist the next shot?
By pecking order, sure. But I know that there's a lot of discussion from folks at how good Gabe Hughes has looked this year.
Oh.
And he's down in AA, but he is really pitching well.
But we talked about Palmquist last week on the show.
Yep.
Right?
I think that that's a possibility, that Hughes is also in that consideration. He was a high draft pick. He's kind of showing out to some of his pre-draft talent level. So, yeah, I'd say Palmquist is probably your first option. And then, you know, They've got a AAA roster that's full of quad A arms that they might just call up, that, you know, the Carl Kaufmans of the world, or the Tanner Gordon, or Austin Nomber, or Bradley Blaylock, or all these guys that are just
Casey Lawrence will come up before the weekend, right?
I thought Casey Lawrence is gonna get signed.
Hey, look at that! 2 innings, 5 Ks for Dollander.
Woo! Oh, good. Okay. I was really hoping that Kenta Maeda would have went out there to, like, just really end it, you know?
As we get into this, I wanted to mention this in the news. I'm so sorry. But Ben Lively left tonight's start for Cleveland, and this is just God's gift. It's a sign of all signs that Slade Ciccone will come up now and take his place. It's just a lock of locks. It was going to happen one way or another. Maybe Logan Allen was going to go. But now if Lively has to hit the IL at all, which He probably will. Then it's a guarantee. Slade Ciccone's a guy I like. Roster him. Pick him up now. Even in Dynasty, if he's out there on a waiver wire for some reason, go get him.
Cool. Yeah, all right. So the headline for tonight, outside of one of my cats got in the basement and I was locked in, I heard her meow and so I had to go let her out, is double A big boys, you know, the double A hitters who are doing things that we like. So I started, you know, making the kind of line a week ago to see where everybody was sitting. And then this morning I deleted a bunch of the names because a lot changed in a week in double A guys. Yeah. Not everything. So from each league, Texas, Southern, and Eastern, we've got a couple of names of note leading in their various categories, which we'll get to. And then at the bottom, we can kind of, once we get through all this, we can discuss any of the lines that look, you know, great, or any of the prospects that maybe we're wondering what's going on. But you are going to hear several names repeated one more time than their initial announcement, but not a lot of guys seem to be in every category, but we'll see where we go here. So if you guys are cool with it, I can rhyme off all of the names in the leagues and then we can have a quick discussion on anyone of note. Does that sound good? It's people like names. All right, we're gonna start off with the sluggas, the home run leaders in the Texas League, Jose Ramos. And you're like, obviously the name alone. Well, this is a left fielder for the Dodgers, and it's just crap that this guy is really good. 10 dingers for him. Keglione with KC has 9. Lou James Grover, we all know that guy. Third baseman with Arizona, and Christian Robinson, both have 7.
Oh!
Southern League, Brock Wilkin with Milwaukee, which a few of you Dynasty guys out there are going to say, it's about time I roster him. He's got 8. He does have a .234 average, but a .951 OPS. So we could dive into that if we want to later. Cooper Kinney with Tampa Bay. He's got 7, a much nicer line by comparison of .280, .350, but the OPS is a similar position. But Kinney's actually doing baseball more better. Ethan Ethan Workinger, the left fielder, center fielder with Atlanta. Ben, I believe you've ordered his jersey. He has 8 dingers with a .280 average and a .963 OPS. I still can't pronounce the name, but
this is surprising the crap out of me.
Yeah, so he was not on this last week towards the top. I forget where exactly he was a week ago. But yeah, you can see the guy there. I think he does come up again. We'll mention him again. So if you're watching on the YouTubes, which if you're not, I mean, get your life together. You know, find us and subscribe, and then you'll feel better. Just as
I will find you, Daniel Day-Lewis.
That's right. I will find you. Hector Rodriguez, outfielder with Cincinnati. He's a 21-year-old. He has, I think it's 7. No, sorry. He's just got a great line that I put in here. 327, 406 with a 919 OPS. But he does only have 4 home runs, 4 stolen bases. I guess when I was writing this, I really wanted to include him. I don't know, because he should have been under elite lines. Anyway, the Eastern League, before I stop talking, Spencer Jones, 9. That's the Yankees' future center fielder. But he did not have any dingers last week. So he was one of my earlier guys who then just came back. So he's still there at the top of the leaderboard. Jake Holton, who is in Erie for Detroit. He's got 7. Yeah. That's a first baseman.
We'll find you.
It doesn't take you long to find those, you know? Like, I mean, Hawk Tua. Yeah. You were so quick to get rid of Hawk Tua. I mean, that poor innocent girl. Anyway, and the final guy, Cole Kerrig. I mean, innocent till proven guilty, right? Same with Wander. Cole Kerrig, Puff Daddy. Cole Kerrig with Colorado has 7 as well.
I'm sure she is so happy to be associated with him.
Hartford Yard Goats. By the way, I love that name, the Yard Goats. That's so cool.
It's an amazing minor league thing. I love that.
It is. That and the Rocket City Trash Pandas. Those two are my two favorite.
That's the best part of the Angels organization, top to bottom. The name of their team. Trash Pandas.
Groover with Arizona goes by Gino Groover. And I was really, really high on him as a draftee, and he just kind of, he's one of those guys that took a second or two to kind of let it all kind of come together. He figured out how to hit for average for a little bit, and then he figured out how to hit for power for a little bit, and now he's kind of doing a little bit of both. Gosh, Wilkins still bugs me. I swear every time I watch the guy, it's like,
doesn't he 17? Look like Betts in the pitcher? Not his like face on pitcher, but the side profile. Like,
yeah.
Oh, with the hat style and the glass. Yeah, I see it. But yeah, you're bummed out about what's his face?
Brock Wilkin, every time I watch him, I swear he has a golden sombrero. He just strikes out so much anytime I watch him. And I think it's kind of the same line for me with watching Spencer Jones. So it's just kind of one of those things. Those guys strike out a whole lot. And for some reason, I happen to catch a lot of when they do if I'm watching them live. Cole Kerrig to hit 7 home runs is really, really interesting, especially since Hartford is about as close to a neutral park as they have in that entire system. And Kerrig was kind of supposed to be more of a all fields, all everything sort of performer, not really a power guy, not really a full speed guy, but one of those guys that can hit some he can hit a little bit, he can run, he can get hit for average, all that stuff. Kerrig is just impressive. Yeah, he's just trying to say that about working drill. He said, I do a top 100 Braves prospects. Workinger like didn't even factor into my top 60 this year.
Wow. So
it kind of tells you where this guy has come from. All right. Like, this is surprising to me.
I got the line on him for the next one because he's also in the next category. So we can dive in on him next one.
So yeah, that's just my thoughts on the guys that you've mentioned so far.
Okay. We'll go right into the RBI machines here. At 45 minutes and 30 seconds, because I keep notes and timestamps.
Amazing time master.
I'm even doing it on the computer today, Govea, just for you.
Wow.
Be it chef's kiss?
Pardon me?
Wouldn't any kiss you give by definition?
Oh, yeah. The chef's kiss. That's right.
And as for my actual last name, we'll talk about that later.
That's right.
So Jack Caglione is leading all of AA. I mean, maybe it's all minor league baseball with 37 RBIs.
I thought he was at one point.
But yeah, he's just pumping them in. Jose Ramos, as I mentioned, the unowned in Dynasty Dodger, 24 RBIs right behind him. Christian Robinson on this list again, as well as Rubel Cespedes, who is a 24-year-old third baseman within the Twins organizations. They both have 22. This bum Ethan Workinger of Atlanta, he has 24 now. So he's a 23-year-old. He's got a 280 average, 350 OBP, and a 963 OPS. So, I mean, this could be his best line to date. This could be a sign of things to come. But as Ben mentioned, pedigree is not yet there for him. So maybe he's building a whole new one now. Xavier Warren with Milwaukee, catcher, obviously useless. But he was a third
with
round
a
pick
Z,
in 2020.
Not an X. They actually sounds like it looks.
I believe it's actually a Z.
Oh, sorry. I read a Z. Excuse me.
Right, like how the Palazzo podcast has two Zs.
We need to update this graphic.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, we'll get to the end here. I'll let you get to the end.
He's got a 265, 376, 837 OPS with 5 home runs. Luke Adams, 21-year-old with Milwaukee, a first baseman. Now, obviously, Bobby Dalbec's arrival just crushes Luke Adams forever.
Oh!
But if by chance Dalbec doesn't work out, this 12th round pick in 2022, guys, might have a shot because he has 20 RBIs and a 200 average, which is pretty much what Dalbec can do. So we'll see, but just for, that's why I put the average in, because you're seeing a lot of RBIs, but clearly there's a lot of outs here. And then the Eastern League has Jorge Burgos, which is a 23.
All catchers.
First baseman catcher. It said two things. So first baseman catcher. No. Anyway, with the Eastern League, he's got 26. He's a 23-year-old 15 guy. I didn't see the year when I was looking. Cole Kerrig is back on. He's got 26 as well. And he was the 65th overall pick in 23, just if anybody didn't know. And then Rafael Flores with the Yankees, a catcher. Ugh, barf in my mouth. I should have picked a different league. No, Eastern League. If it's all catchers, he's got 24. And Flores, I think, also had six home runs before last week and then didn't have any last week. So that's why he had a really good week the previous or whatever, had had good weeks prior to that. So, but yeah, Caglione just, I mean, amazing, right?
Promotion. I mean, Caglione doesn't get called up and Kurtz does.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Kurt shouldn't have. That's a whole other discussion.
But, that's right, brother. Tell it.
But Caglione is actually, he had his dip, which Kurtz was in the middle of his when he got called up to the majors, which is dumb. But to call him up when he's in the midst of his, like, oh, I've just played for 2 weeks and now people are starting to figure me out. And then he gets up to the majors and the majors get the scouting reports from AAA. And it's like,
what
oh,
the hell's a changeup?
Yeah, exactly. Caglione went through that first couple of weeks where it's like, oh, so you think you can get a straight ball by me, like a fastball, a changeup? Yeah, those don't work. And then they said, okay, well, then we're going to feed you a steady diet of breaking pitches. And that worked for about a week. Yeah. And he's made that adjustment now. He still really struggles with sweepers. I don't know what that in there are some guys that that's just a thing. Tough but pitch. Even then, he has learned to back off it. He's not attacking or not swinging a ton on those pitches because he knows he's got a bad judgment on him. So he has taken a couple called third strikes on him, but a sweeper is usually a pretty tough pitch to land in the zone. That's a pitch you're kind of hoping for a swing on.
Do you guys have your strike outs? Do you guys have your calls, your third strike call outs? Like, ah! I never even said words. I'd just be like, ah! You got to do the arm movement, of course. But as long as you do the arm movement, you can say anything.
So. Oh, I think I'd hurt my elbow if I did that.
Oh, you would, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It would go from the, like, you're out.
I'm too old.
Okay. Let's see.
It's a lot of fun, though.
There. I'm going to see if I can pull up.
What's here we go. Here? Look at this. What's he doing? Famous, exciting.
Famous call you're pulling up here? What's going on?
He's got something brewing.
The picture that I took.
He's using technology. He's going to show it. He's going to make it happen. I believe this can happen. I know it can happen. In the meantime, while he's looking for it, yeah, Caglione and Kurtz were both guys that were talked about, again, at the First Pitch Arizona seminar last November, which everybody should go to if you got the chance to go to it every year. Yes, it costs money. I get that. Hey, there it is. Look at that.
That was That's a picture I took. I caught the guy right in the middle. That was that's one of my favorite pictures I've taken.
That guy is short, huh? Are those guys tall?
Wow, mix of both.
Combination.
Yeah, there's no way that guy's over that ump's over 5'8".
Yeah, the ump's not 6 foot. Okay. But the two guys that are there are both college athletes now. So I mean,
that's what I'm saying. So.
Yeah, they're both legit.
Oh, wow, what do you know? Robbie's in the chat saying, more Rockies talk, please. Interesting.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. All right, well, let's move on to OBP machines.
OBP, you know me.
OBPers / walk this way, ers. Really working on the ers thing. So, at 52 minutes. For the Texas League, we've got Peyton Wilson, who was the 66th overall pick in 2021 with Kansas City. He's got a 505 OBP, which leads double A. That is impressive. 13 walks, 17 K.
He doesn't have 24 bats.
We'll come into play because I started to throw some of the at bats in for some of these guys. Tommy Troy with Arizona, who was the 23 first round pick that people are not 100% sure on here, and Dynasty stock is fluctuating a little bit with that guy. 458 OBP, 26 walks, 30 Ks. But by comparison to Peyton Wilson's 74 at-bats, Troy's got 112. A lot more at-bats there. And then Kyler...
Wilson is up at AAA now, though, too.
Okay, so promotion, promotion based on performance.
Yep.
Still leading.
I don't know how he's got there.
OBP, so maybe they should... I'm sure he's only considered on the leaderboard because they would permit an X number of at-bats until a certain date, and then they would wipe it out. So
you
that's
think Cagnanone's pissed that he got promoted? Hey, what the hell, man?
I mean, well, I certainly would be... If I was
fair, this was Peyton Wilson's third year at Double A. So I think he kind of needs to be promoted.
What the Southern League, Rob?
Well, hold on. We've got the biggest star of them all to mention. Kyler Fedko. You guys are like, oh, right, obviously, Fedko, the 12th round pick, who's a 25-year-old in Double A, 429 OBP, 22 walks, 25 Ks, 87 at-bats. But, hey, he's on the leaderboard, baby, so we're going to mention him.
Really fun interview. I haven't talked to him, but actually someone, friend of the show, Seth Stowes.
Minnesota man.
Yeah, we had him on the day we're on back. But he did an interview with him, and it was a really fun interview to listen to.
Still follow him on Twitter. He's a good follow. Follow it's Stohs out there, folks. Yep. Seth Stohs.
In the Southern League, we've got Tatum Levins, catcher for Tampa Bay. So I could probably stop right here. But 457 OBP, 22 walks, 18 Ks. Anytime the walks exceed the strikeouts, I'm listening. Now, if you want to figure out what percentages are, he's had 70 at-bats. So we are talking north of 25% strikeout rate. That's okay, but we're not bordering on excellent here. But great eye for him. David McCabe, third baseman with Atlanta. He was a 22nd, 22 fourth round pick, 429 OBP, 26 walks, 21 Ks, 85 at-bats. I wish I could be excited. Oh, my God. Even looks like Chipper Jones. Oh, barf.
this is Columbus, Georgia, by the way, not Ohio.
It is still listed as Columbus. I would say he's going to be promoted real soon. He's coming back from Tommy John.
Oh.
And so this is kind of a...
So he's below competition.
Well, he's... Yeah, if you want to say that.
Here's your boy!
Yeah, Brock Wilkins back, baby! 428 OBP for him. 34 walks in 107 at bats. Rob, what about the strikeouts? 38 strikeouts.
72 walks or strikeouts in 100? I think it's 142 or 145. So
you're in the ballpark,
right around half of his plate appearances end in either a walk or a strikeout.
Three true outcome guy right there.
That's ridiculous.
That's like the Joey Gallo mold.
Oh, yeah. Has the batting average to match.
Yeah, I was going to say, which I hope would scare people off a little bit from that. So anyway, Luis Lora, who we've never heard of, center fielder with Milwaukee. This is us breaking news for everybody right now. There's a prospect Milwaukee's got that was a J2 guy. He's 20 years old, 347 OBP, 22 walks, 30 Ks, leading the league with his 128 at-bats. Why is this significant? Well, because this is the Luis Lora that everybody got all hard over this offseason. So there you go, everybody. He's not on the leaderboard. I just put him here as somebody notable. So he's not as good as Brock Wilkin for OBP, okay? But he certainly doesn't strike out as much as Brock Wilkin, and he's got more at-bats. So but anyway, finally cap this one off with the Eastern League.
Come on, do it. You can do it.
Naranjo. I'm going with Naranjo.
Naranjo. But that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Washington's future first baseman. I didn't even put his OBP down. Good for me. Well, he was leading the league regardless, guys. Trust me. He's at the top of my list. He's the third round pick in 2019, so he's now a 25-year-old. Kyle Karros, because everybody, I heard somebody in the comments mention about wanting Rockies talk. Kyle Karros with the Rockies. the 22-year-old fifth round pick in 23 has a 447 OBP, continuing, Ben, to have a solid year. I'm excited for this one.
Yeah.
And then Philip Glasser, Washington shortstop prospect, a 10th round pick in 23.
What about Yohendrick Pinango?
As what, Washington?
Well, for the OBP.
Did I skip him?
Oh, you already said him?
No.
I'm not paying attention, am I? I'm fired.
I don't know. What spreadsheet are you looking at?
I'm looking at the minor league leaders in the Eastern League for OBP, and Yohendrick Pinango of the NH team is third at 438 OBP, New Hampshire Fisher Cats.
I would say that would be Toronto.
Yeah. Are you intentionally skipping Toronto? Is that what this, 438?
Right here. I've got a 426 with Philip Glasser.
Yeah, he's ahead of Philip Glasser by 12 points. I'm just saying. Just letting you know.
You know what? I guess I just nix Blue Jays because they're going to ruin them anyway.
All right. At least be honest. There we go. There we go.
When the Cubs give up on you and send you to the Blue Jays, you know your life is not.
Sorry, you have to deal with that.
Well, there's somebody as we get further into this who's like Ben. You had mentioned somebody who was at AA for the third time. There's another couple guys on here that I eventually was like, oh, come on, I'm only putting them on here because they're leading. They're not necessarily like guys to be excited about. Where some of these guys are your dart throws, which is why I've mentioned where 10th round pick in 23, round pick in 19. Like that's a long time ago, but they're still kicking around professional baseball, and they're obviously doing something very well within their league. So. Anything on these guys? Luis Lora is the headliner here, right? This is the one everybody got excited about. Top whatever Kyle, on your list.
Man, Kyle Karros, coming into the league when we were doing the Big Three Next Three was a guy I really struggled not to put onto the Big Three Next Three, but he was a guy I talked about as extras.
I'm pretty sure I had him.
Really has taken a step forward. He is just, he is really... He was a guy who was making those positive steps, but hadn't kind of fully gotten there yet. But man, has he this year. And like I said, this is probably, if you're looking at a hitter in the Colorado system, look at how they do in Hartford. Because their A ball levels, they're going to beat the crap out of the baseball. Because those parks are kind of set up for them to beat the crap out of the baseball. They get to AAA, they're going to beat the crap out of the baseball. Look at what they do in AA, and Karros is doing very, very well right now at that level.
Karros was in my next three, just so everyone's aware. Okay, I picked him.
Not sure they're going to ship away Ryan McMahon anytime soon.
No. I mean, but logically, they should, though. But
I mean, he just figured out how to get a hit again. So, I mean, it was like 35 straight at-bats without a hit or something like that.
The best part of
he's on a heater right now, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, the best part of the Rockies is their bullpen talent, of which they never need to finish games because they start, like, when they go in, they're already down four. It's a struggle. So,
Chase Dollinger's on the bump.
Well, yeah, apparently tonight. What could happen if the Rockies were smart is they just need to have OBP guys like Karros who get on base, and then they need some thieves, baby. They need some guys who are going to steal bags. And here are the AA leaders, the Texas League. Henry Bolt, obviously, his name alone.
That's the Rockies. They're looking.
We'll find you.
They'll find him.
Yeah. The 22 second round pick has 13 stolen bases, which goes along nicely with the .283 average, four home runs and an .816 OPS. Victor Labrada. Yeah. There we go. Everyone knows this center fielder for Seattle. Now he's old for the level at 25, 13 stolen bases. This is his third year in AA. So there's the guy that I was talking about earlier. Jared Sundstrom, a 23-year-old, also with Seattle, 10th round pick in 23. So he has not prospected as long, but he's got 12 stolen bases and a solid line in 24. So I don't know if this is a potential late arrival. Oh, Govey's with the finger up. Let's hear the thought.
I'm just seeing right here the three guys all around Arkansas. So I'm just saying it looks like they steal a lot on that team as well. Just throwing it out there as a observation. And the fact that the guy who's fourth is named Bill Knight, which just not sound like a fast name at all. So I love it.
Science guy?
Oh, Bill Knight, the science guy. Bill Knight, the stolen base guy.
So who is the manager of that team, and could they go to the Rockies, please?
But Zach Veen needs to come up.
Oh, boy. Yep, here we go.
We can actually make use of Zach Veen.
Yeah, I couldn't believe last night I noticed in the NFBC leagues, Zach Veen was 51% rostered in NFBC leagues last night. I just noticed that. I'm like, what? Why? What? I'm like, I missed it?
But there's 50 man draft and holds that where people would have taken him in the final.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, never mind. Good call.
That happens.
You're smart.
Southern League, Colton Ledbetter, right fielder with a team I didn't write down. Oh, you stupid Tampa son Bay. Of a bitch, Rob. Thank you. That's why I didn't write down, because I don't like him. With Tampa Bay, he was the second round pick in 23. He's got 14 to lead the league. Niku Rashida, who I have to say, I can't remember who the reporter was that I was reading for the White Sox at the time. I don't think he does what he did at the time, but he's an 11th round pick in 23. He's now 24 years old. He's got 13 stolen bases. He was so excited for Rashida as like a steal in the draft in the 11th round, thinking like this was not the worst you know, move the White Sox made later on and talked a lot. He just did. Oh, damn it. I wish I could find the guy. He did such great a good job. And Rashida was, or Nishida, sorry, was one of the guys that he said, this could be a, I think I've also said this on the podcast, but he was kind of talking about his contact skills being so good that this is kind of like, oh my God, who the hell is the leadoff hitter for the Guardians?
Stephen Kwan.
Thank you. He's like a Kwan type.
Yeah. Yeah, this is that's exactly, and part of it is Nishida went to Oregon and Kwan went to Oregon State, and there was a lot of similarity in that Nishida was kind of like on that roster, and Kwan was on a roster that had like Trevor Larnach and Adley Rutschman and like this entire, you know, Nick Madrigal and all these like holy crap stud Nick college Madrigal. Players.
Wow. Those were the days.
And so Kwan kind of got.
He was
over.
In a loaded lineup. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And same with Nishida. And both are guys that if you just sat and watched them for a weekend, you're like, God, that guy just doesn't ever do dumb things. You know, you kind of like that out of a college player, you know, in the field, at the plate, just doesn't do dumb things. But the next one is one that I like.
Yeah. The White Sox aren't done with their stolen base guys. They've got 20-year-old, also potential second baseman, William Bergola. He's got 12.
Yeah.
And that's international
season. I thought he would top out in his career at 12. You know, he's a guy who, if you are in an OBP league, William Bergola is a prospect that should be owned in every OBP league, because this guy is going to someday have a 400 on base every single year.
Only 20.
Really, really good contact and on base skills. But I thought this was a guy who might top out barely scraping double digits, stolen bases, and or home runs. And so for him to have 12 already, he's unlocked a little something.
All right.
Which, I mean, we always like when they change, right? When the prospects evolve, that's growth. An exciting one. The Eastern League guys, the top three there, we'll start at the bottom and climb up. Mitch Jebb with Pittsburgh, who obviously needs people to work out. A 22nd second round pick. He's got 12. Alex Mooney with Cleveland. He has. Why did I write 11? I wonder what 11 meant. Maybe he had 11 last week and now he's got 13. He was a seventh round pick in 23. And he's a potential shortstop, which when Rocchio is as horrific in fantasy as he is, we would take anyone else, but he's playing every day, so it's tough. And then the guy leading the league could not be on a worse organization in professional baseball. Abraham Lindo, I think I got that right, a second, third base prospect with Boston. He's a 21-year-old J-15 guy with 14 stolen bases. And I'm slighting Boston just based solely on how much I hate them.
You're just jealous because they got Willie Abreu.
They develop tremendously well, but at the same time, they've done that to the point where, where's a guy like Fiendo going to play?
Well, maybe he plays third base. Oh, wait. No. Either way, good problem to have if you're Boston. And the fact that he's speedy is to his credit, I guess.
Willie Abreu hit a home run again tonight, just letting everybody know. So
I noticed earlier, I don't know if you guys have been watching, obviously. I hope not. I hope none of you have been watching how the Red Sox lineup has fluctuated and where guys are. You know, Story bouncing around and he's in the 4-6, almost 7 slot. I think that's where they might end up having him. But Abreu is like a locked in guy. In that 4-6 for them. Like
5. Yeah, he's almost always. Yeah, he's right there, man. He's hitting for power. The guy's a real player, man. What he did last year showed me that he had a good floor. And I admit, I didn't think he'd get 30 home runs this year. But right now, he's easily on a 30 homer pace. So.
And an elite defender.
Oh, obviously. Well, that's good news to keep him in the lineup.
He was.
So we agree he's really juicing, right?
Yeah, well, of course.
Duh.
I mean, he's having that Canadian play good defense. You can't play good defense on regular skills that the Lord gives you. I mean, come on. But no, he was a finalist last year for a gold glove, and I was really I don't think he got one, which really surprised me because he was – whenever I'd watch him, he's one of those. It's a rare that a guy who's not a center fielder catches your eye for how instinctual they are to the baseball.
That makes sense.
He was one of those guys where balls up in the air, and that right field in Boston sucks as far as a defender. You know, because the fence in some spots is 8 foot tall. The fence in another spot is 4 foot tall.
Great job.
You know, are you going to get yourself groped by some woman, you know, as you go into the stands in one spot? Are you going to, you know, rip the top off a woman?
An interesting name, yes.
You're going to be told to...
We'll find you.
Bad. But anyway.
Boston has cameras in that spot, though.
No, anyway. It says he did win the Gold Glove. So I guess
he is a Gold Glove winner. Jeez.
I did not realize that he. Woo!
Like, go, Willier!
I never looked, Ben. I never looked to see who's won a Gold Glove and all that. Because I mean,
I just remember him being a finalist, and I was like, I don't know. I don't remember who ended up winning that.
Well, so that's great. It just makes me even happier. I already loved his offensive profile. So, all right. Robbie, do we do it? Anything else?
Yeah, I was going to say, of these guys, we've talked about everything. There's only, if you guys have any elite lines, I think it's valid to talk about Christian Robinson with Arizona. You know, the fact that he, as we talked about, he is one of those stories you want to end well. And he's got 7 home runs, 10 stolen bases, 22 RBIs, a .292 average, .426 OBP, .594 slug. It's looking good. He's old for the level, but he's at AA and he's doing good things. If you
looked
have
good at
AFL else.
Last year when I saw him for a moment. I only saw him in 2 games, but I was like, oh, there he is.
Bad mistakes in his life.
Yeah.
And, but, you know. He took ownership of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, accepted the punishment he was supposed to get. That ended up meaning that he was kind of screwed as far as coming back to the United States.
Yeah.
Which is really too bad. But, no, it's great to see him doing well. That is a guy you want to see do positive. One guy that you didn't mention, I was going to bring him up here. Why am I blinking?
We'll find you.
Yeah, there we go.
I've got two guys I found if you need a minute, Ben.
Trey Cruz
for
the Tigers is one that just seems to always pop up when I'm going to put together a weekly thing. I think this is the third full year at AA, and played part of a previous year at AA. But 316, 418, 526 this year. One of the best WRC pluses in the minors. Now, he's doing that with a 383 BABIP. So take that with a grain of salt. But
A little bit of defense helping him out.
But, you know, nice walk rate, 13% walks, 20%, only 20% strikeouts. That's significantly lower than usual for him. He's usually been at 25.
He's 2020, right?
Yeah. He's 26 at AA. I don't know if that's alarming or not. But.
Well, like I said, it's his fourth year there. That's
but also, guys, he's Canadian, so he hasn't played as much baseball as everybody else because it snows. So
he's the son of Jose Cruz and the grandson of Jose Cruz, the brother of Antonio. Look at that. Jose Cruz Jr., for those that remember.
Jr., Blue Jay, potential legend, depending on how big you are. I've got a couple of Guardians here that didn't make any lists for us because I did exclude average simply because that one people sometimes don't like when you talk about it. But CJ Kafis with the Guardians and Travis Bezzana, different points in average. Kafis, 364, Bezzana, 250. Kafis also has 4 triples to Bezzana's 3. Bezzana has 4 home runs and 17 RBIs, 15 walks, 39 strikeouts. Not ideal, and 124 at-bats. But he's doing fine. He's not excelling. But Kafis has 1,066 OPS and a 475 OBP. He's doing great. But he only has 66 at-bats, which is one of the reasons why he wasn't mentioned. He just didn't have enough time at the level.
Being a rubber duck isn't easy.
What is that in reference to?
Akron.
The Rubber Ducks.
Oh, the team. Son of a bitch. Well, another rubber duck who's trying to continue.
Rubber ducky.
I'm up to date now. I'm with it, guys. I'm hip and cool. Let's get some riz on Khalil Watson.
Oh, my God.
Because he's got 3 triples, and he's got the same average as Travis Bezzana at 250. His OBP is a little lower at 315. Slug is higher at 516, and he's got an 831 OPS. I know we've all given up on Khalil Watson, and nobody cares. But if you look at his profile picture, yeah, there you go. Perfect. You got it up. That is an excellent level of confidence he is still exuding. With that.
Yes, it is.
I don't know if you want to call that questionable, but either way.
Living large.
Maybe, yeah, maybe there's something here. They are the same team that just promoted and still has on their roster Will Wilson, who was like a cast off from the Angels, but a cast off from San Francisco. So perhaps he's in the right spot for himself. So those were the two guys that I wanted to mention.
One guy that I'd like to bring up just because he's getting a lot of hype and I don't get it to start this year is Sal Stewart with the Reds, 21-year-old. He's in AA, 303, 376, 445. This is a guy who is 6'1 is always listed. Okay. Well, okay. I think that he might have gotten to the ABS and they figured out that, oh, hey, he was listed at 6'3. He ain't 6'3. But it says 224. That's legit. He's a good sized boy. He has decided that this whole idea about walking, I don't want to do it anymore. 6% walk rate and incredibly aggressive without having a whole lot of oomph behind that for as big as he is. And so he's hitting a lot of crap on the ground. It's let's see here. I had that pulled up here. Ground ball percentage, 44.2%. Not great, Bob. And nothing goes up the middle. That's the other thing. It's usually a really good sign that a guy is either guessing right and pulls, and then you see his next highest number be up the middle, because that's usually when you've squared the ball up and you're putting it up. Everything for this guy, it's 38% pull, 41% oppo.
Oh.
And so only 20% up the middle. The profile, I just don't like it watching it. There's a lot of people buying in heavy, and he's got 9 steals this year. I think that's a big reason why is people are like, ooh, he's figuring out a way to show off his athleticism and a 230-pound guy that can steal bases. Like, you know, no. This is his defense at third is going to force him to the outfield or first base, and Lord knows the Reds have a few of those.
I mean, Reese Hines just barely has time up there. There's way too many of these guys.
Will
way
Benson,
too many.
I mean.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't know why. I saw somewhere that, and it wasn't, just for those who haven't had the chance, MLB Pipeline released a new top 100
because I saw that.
Sunday
oh, really?
Was kind of, Sunday was the graduation day as far as playing for being on the roster. If you started the season in the if you started the season in the majors, you were officially no longer rookie eligible as of Sunday. And so they set Sunday as a day to release a new top 100, taking off all of those guys, which was really, it allowed them to do a lot of fun things. Their top 15 is very, very different than it was.
We'll find you.
Where's hope? Did he make it?
I honestly don't remember off the top of my head, but I think you did. But BA also updated their top 100 late last week. Those are kind of two big publications.
I love rumors.
And I don't remember who released an update to their prospect list, and Stewart jumped like 40 spots into like
the top 50. Oh, wow, really?
Somebody must have seen one good night or something. I don't know. Maybe saw him in person. I don't like, wow.
I don't see that at all. I mean, this is a guy who might be in that 100 to 150 range. You know, he's a really good player that could potentially be a – he could be a guy that fits a Nueve Marte type of role for him. But right now, he needs to figure out how to turn a big-sized guy and actually create powerful contact with it. So –
all right, they're top 10. We can end with this if you want to, guys.
Yeah,
I'll give you the new top 10 for MLB.com. Roman Anthony with Boston, Bubba Chandler with Pittsburgh, Leo DeVries with San Diego, Jordan Lawler with Arizona. Andrew Painter with the Phillies. Mistake. Walker Jenkins with Minnesota at 6. Max Clark with Detroit at 7. Marcelo Mata with the Red Sox at 8. Walcott with Texas at 9. And Jack Caglione with KC rounding out the top 10. And as you just heard, two pitchers inside that. I hate how much people that evaluate talent hate pitchers. They keep forgetting who wins games. It's pitchers. They do the same thing as hitters.
But if you're going to do that, Chandler and Painter are two of the best to have in there now.
Schultz.
He's really struggled this year.
I get a lot of questions about him. I had one about between him and another guy. Who do you think would come up this year? It was, Chase Burns or Noah Schultz. This year?
Burns, by far.
Yeah, you don't need to really come Schultz up, especially with the White Sox, right? If you're Cincinnati and you're doing well, you either trade away prospects to try to get somebody who could do what Chase Burns could do for you at minimum. Yeah, Joe, I totally agree. No catchers in the top 10. Let me see. Where is the first catcher? No one cares. It's Dalton Rushing with the Dodgers.
So here's the
Rushing and Basilo are 15-16 respectively, but catchers not really respected. So you get the
idea. Right. Well, of course.
It just so you guys know, because you guys enjoy piling on the Braves when you can, Raisel Iglesias still sucks. Has now allowed a 3-1 game to become 3-3. Right now Schultz made 6 starts, 27 inning, 27 2/3 innings.
None of it looks good, Ben. You're right.
18 walks.
Damn.
I think Chase Petty had that many yesterday.
Yeah,
well, he might have. but that's right now, if you'd ask me who the best left-handed prospect in the game is, I would pretty easily say Robbie Snelling.
Who's 94th randomly. I'm randomly on him here. 94th.
Oh, you know. Why do they have Painter way up there? Why is he way up and why is Snelling way down, Ben?
This isn't based in fantasy. Guys, I feel like this list is not based in fantasy statistics.
Huh? Snelling
and Harrington has dropped to 84.
What?
We should give this information.
That's not a bad take either. But Snelling had his dip last year. Learned from it, and he is really pitching solid. He had a couple tough outings recently, but 35 strikeouts over 28 innings in AA for Robbie Snelling. But more than anything, he's in a good headspace. I think getting out of San Diego, being traded.
San Diego.
Yeah.
Bugged him.
I love the correction.
Mid-year. And, he's really kind of corrected himself. Although, he ended the year halfway decent last year too in AA. So this isn't a crazy thing. It's just he was so bad with San Antonio with the Padres before he was traded that I think a lot of people backed away from him. And he's really come back to that level where there was a lot of folks who had him top 25 at – I don't know. I'm surprised at how far he fell, how fast he fell. Because, Baseball America had him 27 coming into last year.
It's racist. You don't have any Venezuelan catchers in the top 10.
Yep,
Jackson Fair. I think there's a show idea here, fellas. Hear me out. Pitchers not doing well. That could be a show. Ferris to talk about. We got guys who everybody's excited, on the rise for fantasy that are not giving the results that we would want. So we could discuss, whether it's something to worry about or whether it's something
Thomas
ride
White
it.
Teammate.
Pitchers who look bad Noble now, Meyer? But could Noble be Meyer? On your roster in August. There we go. All right.
Noble Meyer.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Eddie. Yeah, my Dane Meyers run is over. Good run, Dane. Thanks, buddy. Ben, everybody, you knew the truth about Dane Meyers. It was a great run. Thank you. So long.
Yeah, Myers having some fun now, in Belot, but not on the mound.
Dane Meyers is still a fun guy to follow and cheer for. Former Tigers pick as a pitcher.
Yeah.
And then kind of has a
Rule 5 pick.
Injuries, and then, gets picked and converted over to, Tigers started the conversion, and then he was a Rule 5 minor league pick. Mm-hmm. And then got his way up with the majors. That's pretty awesome.
Rub it in, Britton. Thanks a lot, buddy. Yeah,
I don't think
it was going to end eventually. Derek Hill was coming back. So, yeah. Yeah, I want to talk about players. That's a great idea. Let's do pitchers that stink now but could be on your rosters in August. So I think there's a possibility.
Here's your Noble Meyer update.
Oh, don't do it. Don't do it. It's 7-13
ERA. 7-13. He's made 5 starts and only gotten through 17 and 2/3 innings.
Well, but he has thrown a lot of pitches, to his credit. They've been balls, but he's thrown a lot of them.
It was a big movement, Robbie, to focus more on pitches thrown every year versus innings pitched. Yeah,
really, people are not focusing enough on this stat, I think.
Yeah.
Pitches thrown.
All right, so he's throwing pitches. Where they are. All right. I'm ending this thing. It's been a lot of fun, and we learned a lot today. I think the lesson here is don't give up on certain players. Don't get too overhyped on a guy just because you start to read about it on MLB Pipeline or wherever you see it on Twitter. The hype will get you. Sal Stewart, you know, you hear a lot of run. Ben just gave you a nice reality check, and he's not trying to come at you because he doesn't like him for a personal vendetta at all. He gave you reasons why, specific, tangible baseball reasons. That's why I love doing this show. That's why you got to follow Ben at Big Gentle Ben.
Not on Atlanta. That's all I heard.
He's not.
Right now, I'm a little perturbed with the Braves. But anyway.
I love rumors.
I am too. I hear you. I'll join you in your frustration. But I wonder if the Tigers lost tonight. They're taking on Boston. Big series for them. That'll be fun. I'll check out the score on that. Hopefully Jackson Jobe didn't get murdered tonight. That's my goal because I did start him for his 2-start week. Ooh. Oh, 14-2. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Jackson Jobe, 7 Ks, 5 2/3, 7 strikeouts, got the win. Yes. That feels good. Okay.
Hey, the Marlins are only down by 5, guys.
Hey. That's got to be about as close as they've played recently.
So we wrap up the show. Eddie says, FYI, I'm a half hour behind you guys because I had to take a phone call. I went to high school with Tommy Troy Jr.'s father back in the mid-80s. We were friends back then. I even have photos. Okay, I believe you.
Oh, nice.
I believe you.
I do want to just make a note here, fellas. Bottom of the sixth, we currently have a no-hitter on the go for Chase Dollander. But those 5 Ks are still what he's got through 5 innings. 2 walks. Yeah. But hey, regardless of that, like, good improvement. Like,
I can't believe Jock Peterson has not been able to tattoo one of his pitches today. That disappoints me.
Tyler Molly has been pitching very, very well.
Yeah, we have an argument about him on the other show every week. I think he's a ticking time bomb. Mike Virginia likes him a lot, but I just feel like Molly will die at some point. So
injury wise, he's going to go down soon or at some point. But
and he's not missing enough bats. Right. Like that's the other thing too. But his stats look great.
He never has. He never really has.
Well, Hancock is pitching tonight, everybody. Let's just be excited on that. Let's end on a Jesus Take the Wheel pick where I'm 1-for-3 so far, and the 2 and 3 could all come to fruition tonight. But
okay, that's great for me. Well, thanks for being here. Next week, we'll talk more about some pitchers. That's possibly the rumor now for our next show. Prospects Power Hour, Bledsoe Podcast, 2 Hills, 2 Z's. Follow us everywhere. Robbie Baseball, Big Gentle Baseball, and everybody else out there, Britton Allen, Mike Virginia, Sam Worshing, he's out there. He's part of the show. He's just very busy. Thanks, everybody, for being live today. Bye!
Two Zeds.
The power of prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Don't need money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden, and it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.